الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا سهم في الإسلام لمن لا صلاة له وقال في رواية بين الرجل وبين الكفر ترك الصلاة وفي رواية الصلاة عمار الدين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers, ulama ikram, students, elders, we had been discussing great ibadat of salat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined upon us. How unique and extraordinary it is, how different it is from all the other ibadats. We have discussed the many different aspects of salat, how distinct it is in relation to the other ibadat. We had also mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy and grace, has made it so simple and so easy to perform this salat. And even the duration of salat takes up so little bit of time, a person doesn't have to embark on such an effort or such an action that takes a long, long time, and it becomes difficult for him to function, carry out things related to his worldly affairs, etc. No, very, very simple is the salat, and very not even time-consuming, just a few minutes of his day, and he continues with his worldly pursuits and those things that he requires in order to exist in the face of the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for us, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِرًا وَتَّهُورًا, that this is not like the previous nations, that you have to go to a particular place to carry out the salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the entire earth a masjid for you, for us. Wherever and whenever time of salat appears, wherever a person is, if he's unable to come to the masjid for some valid reason, then wherever he performs his salat, whichever part of the earth, whether it is in the house, whether it is in the street, whether it is in the park, whether it is in the business place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the entire earth like a masjid for us where we can pray and read our salat. And in case we do not have water, which is the essential requirement of salat to make wudu, then we do not even require the water. If the water is not present, we use the sand and we make tayammum and we carry out our salat. So simple, so easy to carry out the salat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the realization of the importance of this ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined upon us. We had also mentioned the most comprehensive nature of the salat. If you look at it, it is very simple, very easy, but yet it is very comprehensive. It's an embodiment of so many other types of ibadat, the salat that we carry out. And we had enumerated and mentioned that last week. If you look at the importance of salat, we find it's not only the five daily salat in the life of a mu'min, but there are various different types of salat. We find a person comes in, makes wudu, then he should read two rakats of tahiyyatul wudu. A person comes into the masjid, then he should read two rakats of tahiyyatul masjid. A person is going on a journey, should read two rakats and go on a journey. Salatul safar. Some riwayats when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to come back from the safar, is to come to the masjid and also read salat. Person's got any need and he's got any need, he reads two rakats of salat, makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and special words mentioned in the hadith, inshallah his need will be fulfilled. A person wants to make istikhara, he reads the dua and he reads two rakats of salat. Person has committed a sin and wants to ask for forgiveness in the court of Allah, he reads two rakats of salat and salatul tawbah and makes istighfar and makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the eclipse of the moon, eclipse of the sun, there is a salat. There is no rain and there is drought, there is salatul istisqa. It is a time of jihad, even at that time there is salat. Apart from then, we find the nafil salat that the person continues reading, that is salatul ishraq, salatul tawabin, salatul awabin, salatul ishraq, and the chast namaz and the tahajjud namaz, etc. Various different types of salats are there in the life of a mu'min, not only restricted to the five daily salat. In fact, we had mentioned some things about the sijda, that so unique in ibadat it is that people who are not exposed to this ibadat and the sijda, when they go through this experience, they are convinced that this is the true deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mentioned the riwayat, if a person that will go into the fire of Jahannam, Allah Parak saves us all, that mu'min, he says, that part of the body that touched the ground when making sijda will not burn. The fire of Jahannam will not burn those portions of the body wherein they touched the ground when he made sijda. So much is the value of sijda in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did we ever think that in every rakat we have one standing position, one ruku, but two sajdas we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? People have mentioned many philosophies, whether the basic thing, this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every rakat we do not make one sajda, we make two sajdas. And this is that ibadat that even after salat and out of salat, we find there's no ibadat of standing and making ruku, but there's the ibadat of sajda, the sajda to tilawa that we make after salat. And you read those ayats of sajda tilawa, that even out of salat we carry out the sajda. And it is that unique ibadat that on the day of judgment, when the first and last people and all the people will be gathered, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leader of the entire creation and the greatest Nabi and Rasul and the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will carry out that action that is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein the person is most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To mention the riwayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go into sajda and prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to raise his Mubarak head and to ask whatever he wants and to intercede. His intercession will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sijda is a very, very integral part of salat. However, we are mentioning the importance of salat, that there are different types of salat. And the life of a mu'min, we find every occasion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu mentions, كَانَ إِذَا حَجَبَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزَعَ إِلَى السَّلَاتِ. That when there was any difficulty and hardship that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to face, then he used to hasten towards salat. Hasten to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? What is salat? Salat is a communion between the banda and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why some people have mentioned as salatu mirajul mu'mineen. It is the miraj and the ascension of the mu'mineen. It was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the occasion of miraj, wherein he had met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in salat, each one of us meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It mentioned the hadith, فَإِنَّهُ يُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ. A person is talking and conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is in salat. Such a valuable ibadat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that we are communicating and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we say Allahu Akbar. And there is no formalities we have to go through except the sharaat and conditions of salat to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to talk to any influential person in this dunya, and sometime a person has to wait for days and months, and that also he gets a restricted time. Here we have an open license as a mu'min to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know the famous riwayat of Surah Fatiha. When we read Surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually replies that my servant has praised me, he has glorified me, and my servant is asking for me. Whatever he seeks from me, I will grant to him. To show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also listening to us and speaking to us when we are standing in salat. So such an important salat, such an important ibadat, that not only is it restricted to the five daily salat, but we find that there are so many different types of salat, and different types of salat that are prescribed for the ummah to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fulfill this order of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with that, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak life is filled up with salat. Before he goes to Miraj, he's mentioned in the riwayat, there was salat. At the time of Miraj, salat is given to him. After he descends, we find there is salat. And that salat where all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had participated, to show the importance and significance of salat. Similarly, throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carrying out the different types of salat, and also enjoining and exhorting the ummah and the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to carry out the salat. And we find up to this extent, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his fatal sickness, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the support of two people, and thereafter he comes to the masjid to perform the salat. It's mentioned that Mubarak feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are dragging onto the ground because of his extreme weakness. But in that condition also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to the masjid and carry out the salat. So that no person has an excuse. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. You go to many gatherings, there are 10 people sitting there, the azan goes, two or three people get up and the balance are just sitting there, not responding to the call of who? Not the call of the minister or the prime minister, to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that arrogance of that person. When you call him, he doesn't respond to you. I call him, he doesn't respond to you. His father called him, he doesn't respond to him. We find he's a very unruly person, a very person that has no ethics and no morals, and a person that has no shame, and a person that is arrogant. Imagine the arrogance and the height of arrogance of that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summons to his house, and he turns, he does not come, and he has no valid excuse. It has become common practice. Allah forgive us. You are sitting in a gathering, 5 people, 10 people, 2 people get up for salat, the balance just sit there, no valid excuse, and yet do not come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fulfill the salat. Isn't this a common practice today amongst us? Ma'roof will become majhool and munkar will become ma'roof. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam predicted this centuries ago, that those things that are sinful, that will become acceptable, become a norm in the society. Person does not even think evil about this, that these people are not even coming for salat. They don't even exhort them, encourage them, and tell them to come towards salat. Why? Because the value of salat, the importance of salat, is not in our hearts and not in our minds. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahaba mentioned, it was only an open munafiq that dare not come for salat in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only that person who was an open munafiq, he would dare not to come to the masjid and carry out his salat. Other words, every person should ensure that when the azan is called out, a mu'min's job was to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What percentage in our ummah, in our families, in our children, in our environment are carrying out this important injunction? And what concern is there in my heart and your heart regarding this important injunction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us or placed upon our shoulders? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only throughout his life practiced this, but we find that among the parting words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was as-salat, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding salat. Imagine that person who leaves the dunya, we know what is his prime concern. Those things that are primary in his mind and heart, those things that hold high priority in his mind and heart, those are the things he has. And that is the parting advice that he will give his children and his family. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatul lil alameen. The parting advice at the time of leaving this dunya, he says, as-salat. Among the other things that he mentioned was as-salat. Guard your salat. Be careful regarding salat. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding your salat. To show and to highlight upon the ummah the importance of salat. How important it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We find many of us are punctual in our salat. But when it comes to our children, comes to our wives, when it comes to our daughters, we find they are far from the salat and far from fulfilling this great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show us the importance of the salat, mentioned one hadith to this effect, that when your children are 7 years old, command them to perform salat. And when they are 10 years old, then reprimand them and beat them if they are neglectful as far as salat is concerned. Let us ask ourselves, very rarely our society, people are baligh at that time. We find that they are not even matured, but we are told to command them, to teach them to read salat, and command them when they are 7 years old, and to reprimand them when they are 10 years old if they do not read salat. We are not told this regarding zakat. We are not told this regarding hajj. We are not told this regarding fasting. But as far as salat is concerned, we are told that even if he is 10 years old, that means even if he is not matured and he does not carry it out, then reprimanding. Why? Such an important injunction that he will need it in every moment and every day. Every day of his life, he will require the salat. And through the salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him great favors in this dunya and the akhirat. This was the love and compassion and kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he mentions here that when they are 10 years old, then we should reprimand them. How many of us reprimand our children when they are 16 years old, when they are 18 years old? Say, no, he's in high school. Let him sleep. He's not here for the Fajr Salat. Doesn't matter. He's got his school work to do. So much we are prepared here to compromise upon this great ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to further explain to us the importance of salat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the status of salat is like the status of the head in the body. Can we imagine, or did we ever see, or is it possible for a person to be walking around without a head? Yes, he may not have a hand, he may not have 2 hands, he may not have a limb, he may not have a kidney, he may not have the spleen, etc. But without a head, he ceases to exist without a head. Rasulullah tells us that the position of namaz is like the position of the head in the body. Other words, without namaz, a Muslim cannot even exist. That's why in another hadith, Rasulullah tells us, La sahma fil Islam liman la salata lahu. Imagine how serious words, and what a serious warning is sounded here. La sahma fil Islam. There's no portion in Islam for that person who has no salat in his life. Can we imagine how serious this warning is of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The time for us to heed and to reflect and to ponder what an important ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how negligent we are. If you are negligent, it's never too late to turn a new leaf and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a firm pledge that from this day, inshallah, I will carry out my salat. I will ensure that all my salat are carried out, and I'll try and carry it out like it's prescribed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, that we should carry it out in the congregation. Here further, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in another hadith that bayna ar-rajuli wa bayna al-kufr tarkus salat, that the partition between a person and between kufr is the abandoning of salat. Otherwise, the person who abandons his salat, otherwise goes very close to kufr. One riwayat is mentioned, that person that leaves out a namaz, faqad kafar, he has become a kafir. Though this is not the opinion of all the fuqaha and the jurists, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimullah mentions this. Some places he mentions that only leaving out one namaz intentionally renders a person out of the fold of Islam, he actually becomes a kafir. And in some places he mentions that if a person leaves out three namazes without intentionally, then he is rendered out of the fold of Islam and he has to be killed. This is the punishment. All the other aimmas are not so severe. Some of them say that the person has to be jailed. Some say he has to be severely punished if he leaves out his salat intentionally. Let us reflect and look within our lives. If we are carrying out this injunction, alhamdulillah, and we should ensure that our wives, our children, our family, and all of them fulfill this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this important injunction that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in one hadith, as-salatu imaduddin. Salat is the foundation, the pillar of deen. Salat is the pillar of deen. And such an important pillar, man aqama faqad aqama ad-deen, wa man hadama faqad hadama ad-deen. Imagine and reflect on the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person that establishes this pillar of Islam, then this pillar of deen, he has established the entire deen. Inshallah, that will slowly, eventually lead him to that life where he'll fulfill all the injunctions, all the other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ هَدَمَهَا. How serious is the warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَنْ هَدَمَهَا فَقَدْ هَدَمَ الدِّينَ. The person that demolishes this pillar and does not uphold this pillar, does not establish in his life, فَقَدْ هَدَمَ الدِّينَ. And it is as if he has demolished the entire deen. Why? A person is neglectful of the duty of salat. Very easily he becomes neglectful of the other duties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan fears that person that carries out his salat. And the mu'min's life actually revolves around his salat. Even in the qabr it is mentioned, when he will go into the grave, it will be like the asr, like the after asr time. And he will say, oh angel, leave me, let me pray and let me read my salat. He's so concerned about his salat.